You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Sheriff Mukwurimi did have many supporters, as he described, but there were also many vocal opponents to his reinstatement. In fact, the majority of San Franciscans polled did not want Mukwurimi as sheriff after his conviction. And many women's rights activists spoke out against Mukwurimi's reinstatement. Among them was Kathy Black, executive director of La Casa de las Madres, a local shelter for victims of domestic violence.
It defies common sense that a sheriff convicted of a domestic violence crime would then oversee the incarceration and rehabilitation of others convicted of these crimes. I am concerned about the message it'll send to survivors and batterers if one of our city's top public safety officials is allowed to remain in office after admitting to a domestic violence crime.
We're joined now by Jamie Cox, who's outreach director and volunteer coordinator for La Casa de las Madres. She says that this past year, calls to La Casa have gone up over 20%, and part of the reason is increased awareness about the issue. I asked her to explain why, as an organization, La Casa chose to take a stand on the Mukwurimi case.
We felt compelled to speak out that, you know, one of our top public safety officials in San Francisco admitted to having committed a violent act against his wife, admitted under oath, and admitted that at the time he knew it was a crime, was convicted of a domestic violence-related crime, and we felt that San Francisco deserved better from its sheriff. And along the way, our community was hearing a lot of messages minimizing the abuse, and so we wanted to make sure that, you know, these instances that are in the media are just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the prevalence of abuse. What actually gets reported is just a small fraction of people's experiences. So we want to make sure that people that are out there in their homes feeling alone, feeling isolated, being told that it's their fault, that no one will care, that they hear that there is help available, that they're not alone. So that the person in that leadership position should be a reflection of our community's response. And those are the messages that we want our community to hear from its leaders.
And you had a Mukwurimi-inspired billboard that you erected last February. Tell us what that looked like and why you mm-hmm. did that.
The billboard read that domestic violence is never a private matter.
And so this is referring to something that Ross Mukwurimi said at the mm-hmm. time, that this mm-hmm. is a private family matter.
Right, right. So it was in response to that message, which has been used historically to minimize and to keep people silent. It's a phrase, a very particular phrase that the anti-domestic violence community and La Casa has worked for years to stop, you know, that belief that it is just a private family matter. Again, this is something that the public needs to take seriously, that people need to know that there are safe places for them to get help if they're experiencing it. And so when that was said, we felt that it was important to counteract that with the message that it isn't a private family matter. It's a crime. It's a public health concern. It's something that we as a community should all take seriously and pay attention to. And so the billboard also included our 24-hour hotline number for those that might need, you know, that might be feeling unsafe or concerned about their relationship and want to talk to someone.
So let me be the libertarian in me here that's saying, well, but his wife, Eliana Lopez, didn't want help, wasn't seeking help.
Right. What we know is that some, you know, there are different numbers, but some 78% or so of victims do recant or choose not to cooperate with law enforcement. I can't speak to her situation or her choices, but that's just sort of the data we have more broadly. And there are so many reasons why that might happen. You know, for some, there may be a fear of retaliation. They may be experiencing emotional manipulation around you know, to create sympathy for their person that they love and they care about and don't want to see, you know, go to jail or, you know, face repercussions. So there can be a lot of reasons for that. And I don't intend to sort of speak for her specifically. But I think, you know, our system is set up in a way, the criminal justice system is set up such that specifically, survivors of domestic violence don't have to participate. They don't have to cooperate. with law enforcement or choose to press charges. It's the state. It's a crime against the state, so that that process can happen without that person having to testify against their loved one, et cetera.
Well, I think when many of us think about domestic violence, we think about physical battery. Do you include emotional abuse when you, what's your definition of domestic violence?
Absolutely. So domestic violence is an escalating pattern in which one person exerts control over their partner. And there's a lot of different ways that that control can manifest. So absolutely, we think of it as a number of things that can include emotional, verbal, sexual, financial, physical abuse, as well as things like isolation, you know, really preventing someone from seeing friends or family or from seeking services or keeping them physically in the home, preventing them from working, you know, intimidation and threats.
It's just hard to wrap my head around a definition that's that broad, mm-hmm. and it feels like it's hard to know what's the line between somebody being a jerk for a day or an hour or a minute and a pattern of abuse.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. And that's really where we would look at the pattern piece, the escalating pattern. Domestic violence, generally speaking, and every situation is different, but it often happens in a cycle. So a cycle of, you know, sort of what you might hear is described as the hearts and flowers or the honeymoon phase, where things might feel really good and positive, and there are those bonds of love and commitment. And oftentimes coming after that, a period of tension building where you might hear someone say, and we hear this a lot, like, it feels like I'm walking on eggshells all the time, where any little thing I say or do might sort of set something off. And again, that doesn't have to be something physical. And, you know, the way that our legal system and law enforcement defines domestic violence is different from our definition, right? But I'm speaking for La Casa when I say that we define it as an escalating pattern of control in which one person has greater power in the relationship. So there's an imbalance of power that can be used to manipulate and coerce and intimidate.
We're speaking with Jamie Cox, who's the Outreach and Volunteer Coordinator at La Casa de las Madres. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Do you think that perpetrators of domestic violence can be reformed, can be cured?
I do. I think it takes that person being totally committed to and ready to accept that they want to change their behavior, because we do believe that domestic violence is a learned behavior that someone has often learned over the course of their lifetime from various messages in various places. But that person really has to want to change their behavior and get very specific intervention for that. So that's where sort of the minimum of 52 weeks of batter intervention comes in, because it's been found that, you know, if this is a pattern of behavior that someone's learned over the course of their lifetime, you know, even 52 weeks is not a lot sort of to unlearn that behavior and really change the way that a person thinks and acts. So, yes, I do think it's possible. I also think that it's about that person then choosing to use the tools that that batter intervention program provides. So it's not as if, and you'll hear batter intervention program experts, you know, our partners at RSVP and other programs talk about how it's not as if the batter intervention program works or it doesn't work. It's about that individual choosing to utilize the tools that it provides. And if that happens, then yes, it can work. But there's a lot of things that have to be sort of in place for that person in terms of their readiness and acceptance and decision to change.